Wisdom Beyond Words by Sangharakshita, read by Subhadra. Sense and Nonsense in the Buddhist Pranayaparamita Tradition. Editor's Preface. There are places in the universe where natural laws go into reverse, and these black holes have to be accepted as a very real challenge to the ultimate validity of those laws. Likewise, in the sphere of human communication, there are documents which invert the laws of logic holding it all together. These documents make up the Pranayaparamita, or Perfection of Wisdom, literature, dedicated to confounding our assumption that we can get our heads around what Buddhism is ultimately about, that there is some ultimate basis in reality for the operations of the rational mind. According to the Pranayaparamita, while our reason has brought us instant access to seemingly limitless stores of information and learning, it represents at the same time the ultimate restriction to our knowledge. One feels that there must be some significance for our mass communication-dominated age in the fact that the world's earliest extant printed book should in fact be a copy of the Vajracchedika Pranayaparamita, the sutra on the perfection of wisdom that cuts like a diamond thunderbolt. For the tradition this text comes from is still the most forceful attempt yet made to break the circuits of our cognitive processes in the face of ultimate reality. With this agenda, it provides, especially in the Diamond Sutra and the Heart Sutra, the core teachings of both Tibetan and Zen Buddhism. Profound as these texts are, they are meaningless unless they are read, or rather undertaken, as a device for the transformation of one's life. And it is this understanding of the true value of spiritual texts, even very difficult ones like these, which informs all of Sangharakshita's work. Though he is known throughout the Buddhist world for the rigour and breadth of his scholarship, he is first and foremost a teacher. This is especially evident in the present work, which is edited from recorded lectures and seminars led by Sangharakshita and attended by members and friends of the Western Buddhist Order. The provenance of this book makes it a new departure in terms of Sangharakshita's published work, because it very largely represents his ad hoc oral teaching. It must be admitted that were Sangharakshita to write a book on the perfection of wisdom, the style, the content, and the construction would all be markedly different. However, the fact is that he has specifically chosen, in a great number of cases, to explore important Buddhist texts either in lectures or in the company of small groups of people who are committed to deepening their commitment to the ideals of Buddhism, rather than to write books about those texts. There are various consequences arising out of the conditions under which Sangharakshita discussed these texts for the commentaries that are now being produced. Firstly, though he is just as articulate in the informal context of a seminar as he is in his writings, which has made the task of editing remarkably easy, the informal and relaxed delivery preserved in this book will be unfamiliar to those who are used to his tightly organized and carefully crafted literary style. The fact that he is communicating with individuals he knows, the fact that he is, in many cases, their preceptor, brings a tone of person-to-person engagement and intimacy to what he says that one would not look for in his literary work. Secondly, the content of these commentaries is to some extent determined by the dynamics of the seminars. That is, while the central themes and significant details of the texts are conscientiously covered, Sangharakshita is at the same time always ready to be stimulated by the flow of discussion to move away from a close explication of a text in order to deal with broader issues. The practical exigencies of Sangharakshita as a teacher, needing to respond to the immediate spiritual situation of the individuals present on a seminar, necessarily brings out points and implications that might not come into the purview of a purely scholarly commentary. For purposes of concision and clarity, however, and to get an uninterrupted view of Sangharakshita's arguments. The questions and interjections of those participating in the seminars have been removed, and the twists and turns of discussion to some extent ironed out. Thirdly, the material collected together in this book originated at widely different periods in the development of the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order, founded by Sangharakshita in 1967. Particularly in its formative years, Sangharakshita made use of lectures and seminars in order to provide spiritual direction to the movement as a whole. Thus, his approach to the text under discussion, as well as his choice of text, would be strongly influenced by whatever aspect of the Dharma needed to be emphasized at the time. The earliest material in this book, which appears as a short commentary on the Heart Sutra and the introduction to the Diamond Sutra, was originally delivered as lectures which were designed simply to plant the seeds of two very important Buddhist texts into the fresh soil of a very young Buddhist movement. The seminar on the Ratnaguna Samchayagatha, which took place in 1976 at Padmaloka, a country house near Norwich, which is still an important retreat centre for men in the FWO. According to Dharmacharya Subhuti, the effect of this seminar was a general spirit of expansive inspiration and a loosening of nose-to-the-grindstone Protestant values that wreaked havoc with work schedules and necessitated some radical rethinking of the methods then being employed to push projects within the FWBO forward. All of a sudden it seemed that people could not even be persuaded to take the rubbish out without feeling personally inspired to do so. As it turned out, the development of the movement did not grind to a standstill as a result of this reassertion of the primacy of spiritual values over temporal objectives. By 1982, there were annual ordination retreats for men being held in an old convent in Tuscany, rented for 3 months in late summer, and it was here that the seminar on the Diamond Sutra took place. With the ordinations completed, the new order members divided into groups and alternated study with harvesting of olives. The setting for this seminar needs to be imagined as one of faded Italianate grandeur, a room with a high ceiling, warm colour-washed walls, velvet curtains, deep red terracotta tiles, and a great log fire. However, these congenial surroundings were a stark contrast to the rarefied atmosphere into which Sangharakshita led the seminar. Indeed, there were times when he was being followed, if at all, by no more than one or two of those present, though, as Subhuti again recalls, the insights Sangharakshita brought to the Diamond Sutra were awe-inspiring for anyone who did manage to keep up. There is one final seminar to be mentioned, substantial parts of which have been incorporated into this book, a seminar which was held in 1974 at Abirati, a huge, crumbling rectory in the Norfolk village of Tittleshaw. The subject was an early but very influential work by D.T. Suzuki, Outlines of Mahayana Buddhism. As with other early seminars, there was a definite agenda for the FWBO being laid out before the participants. On this occasion, what Sangharakshita introduced was an awareness of the importance of clear and critical thinking and an apprehension of the ruinous effects of micchadittis, or wrong views. For those who were there, the 10 days of the seminar exploded a good deal of the spurious mystique surrounding the so-called higher teachings of Buddhism. And, in the words of one young order member present, Nagabodhi, the experience was at once exhilarating and upsetting. Sangharakshita's primary target was the muddle and confusion suffered by Buddhists in the West as a result, particularly, of the whole trend towards thinking in terms of cutting through spiritual materialism, to quote the title of the most widely read book on Buddhism at the time. In doing so, he also incidentally provided a specifically Buddhist tool with which to cut through parallel areas of confusion and superficial thinking
that vitiate much of Western cultural and intellectual life today. If the result of bringing together these lectures and seminars with their disparate angles on the Buddhist vision is a clear and unified statement of essential Buddhist principles, as illuminated through the Prajnaparamita, this is because Sangharakshita's teaching is based on what now amounts to 50 years' contemplation of those principles. However, as an Englishman with a rich and diverse experience of the practice of Buddhism in India and in the West, he is also able to leaven a formidable subject with anecdotes, both humorous and startling, and with strong doses of common sense. The result is a lively and vigorous appreciation of the real issues and difficulties experienced by Westerners living in the late 20th century who want to make use of the wisdom and guidance of traditional Buddhist texts. A number of individuals have contributed significantly to the preparation of this book. Sangharakshita himself has provided material help, encouragement and cooperation at every stage of the project. Next, I must acknowledge the immense labours of all those who have helped to transcribe tape recordings, particularly the director of the transcriptions unit, Sila Bhadra. I should also like to thank Karen Stout, Nagabodhi and Shantavir for their very considerable editorial assistance in cleaning up the typescript. Stiramati of Wolfson College, Oxford, went out of his way to furnish me with the latest academic work being done on the subject of this book, and Sabuti kindly and promptly delved into his memory of the seminars long ago for the purpose of this preface. The index was compiled by Helen Argent. Finally, I should like to express my gratitude to those individuals who provided the funds to get Sangharakshita's spoken word project off the ground, namely Kulamitra, Maharatnapriya, Satyaraja and Nagabodhi, and to the Windhorse Trust, funded by Windhorse Trading, for their continuing financial support. Jinananda, Spoken Word Project Editor, West London Buddhist Centre, March 1993.